Legumes do play a very important role in our pastures for forage livestock systems. And compared with completely grass monocultures, legumes provide potential for increased intake by livestock, as well as an improved pasture nutrient value, especially in crude protein and minerals. The legumes act as a nitrogen source for the grasses in the pasture once they're established, and they really can improve the forage yield as well as seasonal distribution of forage supply for our livestock. However, management in mixed species pastures can be problematic. Both the establishment and maintenance of the legumes add new components and new work for us, and they can be expensive, they can be difficult, and especially when you look at weed control, it really limits your options for weed control in the pasture. So we're talking about Kura clover. It's a very highly researched plant for very little that we find in pastures around the United States. This is Kura clover, in case you haven't seen it. It does have a more elongated leaf, a watermark, and a white flower. Kura clover has been shown to be very tolerant of the humid northeastern and north central United States, but perhaps its tolerance is not so great in the southern United States. What really makes Kura clover of interest is that it has been shown winter hardy and disease and insect resistant, but it's extremely, extremely persistent once you get it established. It's also been shown to have some grazing tolerance. And what's really driving these qualities of interest is an extensive root and rhizome system. Just very heavy amount of roots and rhizomes compared to leaf matter, and this is probably what's helping us also in recovery from both grazing and drought situations. Biggest limiting factor in using Kura clover has been a difficulty in establishment, and a very common phrase about Kura clover is the first year it's going to sleep, the second year it's going to creep along, and the third year it's going to leap and take off. So the objectives of our study is to look at the potential for Kura clover in a dairy pasture in Appalachian, Ohio, very similar terrain as Amanda did her study. So what we wanted to look at was three things with the establishment of Kura clover and the use of it in the pasture. We wanted to look at establishing with or without companion species, different species. When we planted those companion species, either in the spring when we drilled our Kura into the pasture, or if we waited and planted our grass species in the fall, and whether or not we put nitrogen out on the seeding area when we seeded. So the companion species we used four different grasses and a mix. So we used a duo Festolium. The first duo Tecopho Quartet Bronson are the trade names. So the duo is a Festolium, Tecopho is an orchard grass, Quartet is a rye grass, and Bronson's a tall fescue. And the Virginia mix, we just mixed 20% of this Tecopho orchard grass, 40% of the Quartet rye, and 40% of the Festolium. And I will emphasize, this is a grazed dairy pasture on a production farm. So statistically, we use a split plot design. You can see on the map here, we planted Kura clover this direction with a no-till drill across the entire area in April of 2002. And then the next day, we came in the spring sown grass split plot. We planted the grasses this direction, and these are our treatments of the different grasses this way. And then we had nitrogen in this one, go backwards. Sorry about that. And no nitrogen in the bottom. And then on the other side, in the fall, we came back and planted the grasses after the Kura was allowed to self-establish. And the same thing with or without nitrogen. So initially, 2 months after we planted, we came out and we measured the Kura clover. And since we did not plant grasses on half of our trial till fall, we could look at the difference between a monoculture and seeding with a companion grass. And we saw about twice the number of seedlings when Kura clover was planted alone in the first year. Notice that in 2003, our average plants per square meter drops down to about 47 plants. We saw a small yet statistically significant difference due to nitrogen, and that when we applied nitrogen, we had a few less plants per square meter in 2003. And the delayed grass planting, when we waited till fall to plant the grass, also dropped the average number of cured plants by just a few, which is statistically significant, but whether it's biologically significant is yet to be answered. So we'll look and get some general trends here. Across the years, we have data for 2002, 2003, 2004. 5 and 6 where the pasture is not measured, and then this year we came in to look at the persistence of the cura and finish the trial. So in the beginning we see very low percentage of cura compared to the grass, and I will apologize. Where's that mouse? Apologize. This number 27. No, I did it again. 27 belongs in 2003. I have these two switched. So we saw a very slow start to the cura clover. It's in there, it's growing, it's developing the roots and rhizomes, but it's not putting a whole lot to shoots that we can see. And then by 2004, which would be that third year, it really starts to take off and can compete with the grass, and we really see a heavy amount. And this is a trial average over all the species. In 2007, 67% cura clover and only 33% grass. When we look at individual treatments, and this is the same thing, average of all the years, we see our highest cura percentages in the quartet and the duo. The rest are pretty similar, and we'll see why that is in a minute. So total dry matter, and this is a single harvest about the same time in May each year that we looked at. So this is a single date we walked out, how much dry matter do we have. 2003 is the year after establishment. We have a very low amount, which is to be expected for an established stand. And 2004, we really see a respectable amount of forage to go out on the farm and have available for grazing. And we'll notice in 2007 that there's really not much forage there. And in the forages, I don't know what I'm trying to say. In its defense, we had a very late freeze in Ohio this year. Stuff had been able to come up and start growing early in the year, and we got a late freeze for a couple of weeks, and then followed by this drought that we had in Ohio later in the year. But that freeze is really what's driving that low number in 2007. We'd expect that to be more similar to 2004 on a normal year. So again, the dry matter harvest, we see the most dry matter in the tekapo, which is the orchard grass and cura clover, and the tall fescue and cura clover. And we're seeing less with the ryegrass and a little bit less with the festolium. So let's break it out and look at the first year post-establishment. This would be 2003. Just real quick at the bottoms, we'll note the average is about 30% cura, and this is that year two. And in this year, we're seeing about 64, 67% cura clover, and it's really being able to compete with some of this grass. Especially this year, the duo, we're seeing over 88% cura clover, and the same with the quartet. These two grasses, if you walked out in the pasture and did a visual estimate real quick, you'd almost think there was no grass in those two plots. That grass just really was not persistent, and that cura has taken over and pretty much competed with it completely. And we see a pretty close to 50-50 in the orchard grass, which I think makes a nice mix. And we can see that the cura has a potential to compete with this Bronson tall fescue a little bit, and it's taking it over. So that's what we saw on the farm. We were real curious. This is about a 5-acre area, a little bit more than 5 acres. What would happen if we planted an entire farm into cura clover? So we have some farm models available now, and this is the integrated farm system model we chose to use. And this is the newest version of DAFOSIM, which has been used for dairy cattle, if you're familiar with that. This computer model allows us to evaluate many different technologies and management strategies using a complete whole farm approach. And the integrated farm system includes the beef component of that, but we can do dairy or beef cows. It will print out for us a production, economic, and environmental projection based on what we put in to the computer as our standards. And it runs multiple year scenarios. And the purpose of these multiple year scenarios is mostly to incorporate weather factors. So it'll run 10 or 25 years, and that gives you that variability due to weather more than anything else. So our objective with this was to compare a 100% tall fescue pasture, which is on most of this farm now, with a hypothetical scenario that we planted half of it in cura clover and half of it in left in tall fescue. We base our idea of this on a 4 pound per head per day milk increase on these dairy cows that we saw this year. Every time we turned the cows in, we'd see a milk increase compared to their grazing on tall fescue. So it's not a very strong number to stand on right now. We were looking at the cura clover. This was a side note we found. So we'd like to evaluate this effect on the whole farm scale. Just to give you an idea of what this computer model involves, we have a lot of different areas that we can alter in this model, from crops to grazing, machineries, cattle, manure, and economics. So when you click on one of these little screens, this is the grazing information, it comes up with a workbox here that you can change all your different parameters. And then the same thing, crops and soils, I've got the grass highlighted now, you can change stand life, different adjustment factors, and how much grass. You can select different grasses, or it has a user defined option. You can define the characteristics of your grass. When you're done, if it likes you and you did it right, you get a real nice printout of all of the information it takes into account, and it'll project your dry matter production, your cow's manure, nutrients, and you'll get something that looks like this, where you have a number of years and you have your criterias, and it'll give you a number. It also has a feature where you can make graphs and compare different things if you like. So what we found on the far right hand side is the tall fescue by itself, and this is the tall fescue cura clover 50-50 mix that we projected. And this farmer, his idea is to stock his farm for the highest production of grass that he has in any given time, and then whatever he comes up with a deficit, he feeds hay. So if he has the most grass produced in May, his stocking rate's based on his May grass production, everything else comes into hay. So if it looks like we're buying a lot of hay, that's why. But with the tall fescue, we made about 274 tons of dry matter on this farm per year, and we had to buy in about 1,000 tons of hay. By adding the cura clover to the mix, we increased our production to about 529 tons of dry matter, and we only had to purchase about 783 tons of purchased forage, and that would be dry hay in this scenario. And then these are our different milk yields based on that difference that we saw this summer. The program will give us environmental factors, and I calculated out the nitrogen, potassium, phosphorus balance. And we do see a much higher amount of nitrogen from the cura clover, which is probably driven more by the increased protein in the plant than anything else. We see a trend for lower phosphorus and potassium in the tall fescue and cura as well, balance on the farm. So when you look down through this, purchase feed and bedding, we're buying more forage for tall fescue, so we have a higher cost there. We have increased costs for the net feed that puts in some of the grain that has to balance that ration. And we come up with a net cost per unit of milk. And we're seeing about $2 cheaper cost per hundredweight of milk by using the cura clover compared to tall fescue. And when you come into income over milk sales and net returns, come down and calculate the net return per mature animal. So for each lactating cow that I have on the farm, I'm returning $1,400 per cow in the cura clover scenario, based with $1,000 per cow in the tall fescue scenario. In conclusion, we found an increased number of seedlings when cura clover is planted alone, and this effect continued into the fall. It wasn't just an initial effect in the spring. Nitrogen did increase the number of seedlings, and I've got weeds with a question mark that we did have some weed problem in that field, and we're wondering if that nitrogen fed those weeds and there's more open space, so that they may have competed with the cura as well. We did find what many other people have found. Cura is very slow to establish. We found less than 50% in the first 2 years And then once we got this established in that third year with 54%, and then this year 67% cure clover, shows some potential for cura to maintain in the pasture and compete with grasses. And when we looked at the integrated farm system model, we did show that, or find that cura clover does have some potential for increasing our farm income compared to just a tall fescue, a lone pasture. Thank you very much, and I'd be happy to entertain any questions.
We only have time for just one question.
What is the low potential, if I need to get one? What's the low potential on cura? Is it 50-50 mix of some risk?
Cura is on the list of bloat-causing legumes. This farmer's been grazing it since 2003. And he's never bloated a cow, so he says. So I can't say that it's bloat-free, but he's never bloated a cow.